The Kilkenny Hurling Podcast with Eddie Skelly and Robbie Dowling. Brought to you by KCLR and scoreline.ie.
It's the Kilkenny Hurling Podcast brought to you by KCLR. Each week, myself, Robbie Dowling, and former Blacks and Whites manager Eddie Skelly look at all the topics dominating Kilkenny Hurling and beyond. Former Blacks and Whites manager Eddie Skelly joins me now. How are you, former Blacks and Whites manager Eddie Skelly?
Current Bagnestown Gaels manager.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, no, I'm very good. Quiet weekend sports wise, so it just makes it it was a bit of a different weekend. It was actually when you think about it, I know there was lots happening. I have to say, a massive shout out to the Dixburg Camogie ladies. There was eight of them, I think, was picked for club team of the year, which was brilliant to see. You know, they've had an absolutely brilliant year, and culminating with that as well. And of course, I think Aoife Prendergast got hurler of the year as well, and that was richly deserved as well.
Yeah, 100%. Just to go back on the Bagnestown thing, were you playing this weekend?
No, the
got cancelled.
Match was called off. Yeah. I tell you what happened was The weather in Bagnestown was fine, and you know the pitch, it wouldn't have been perfect, right? But it would have been fine for the game. But the powers that be in both of our committees kind of spoke between Michael and themselves, and a lot of our players are based in Dublin, and there was a heavy old dust and a snow on the road, and we just took the decision that it wasn't, you know, first round of a Bulger League. We'll play them again, and I think we'll play them in 2 weeks. We might play it on a Tuesday night and then play the Friday as well. So it's in Carlow, it's hard. It's a balancing act, Robbie, because it's a proper dual county. So you've hurling weeks and football weeks, and then obviously for me myself, I'm over both the hurling and football team, but my backroom teams are different. I have a different backroom team for my football than I have for my hurling. So we're week on, week off. So when you lose a game like we did the other day, we're into a football week now. So obviously the hurlers have missed out on a week of hurling now. So it's into a football week, and the following week then, when they'll put in them two matches, it means we'll miss out on another week with no training in hurling because we've played two matches. So it's not simple, but it is what it is.
Oh yeah, fair enough. Sure, we wish you the best of luck with it. I'm sure we'll be keeping up to date with it as the weeks and months commence, Eddie. As you said, it was a quite sporting weekend. Before we get into maybe the meat of this one, something that did happen was on Friday night, I believe, down in Tulliher. You were at the Tulliher Ross Birkin Award ceremony, not just at it, but emceeing it.
Yeah, no, in fairness, John Paul Phelan, the chairman down there in Tulliher Ross Birkin, invited me to emcee the night. It was honouring their team that won the Junior All-Ireland title, so it was very nice to be asked, and I was only delighted to go down and do it. Really good crack, they're a really good bunch. I suppose three takeaways from it is, number one, you forget how young that team is. Like, I was sitting with my wife and we were looking around. Like, I mean, Conor Hennessy is one of the older players on the team, and you know, he still looks so young. And like, I always mince Donegh O'Connor about being an old lad. Like, Donegh is not, like, he was 26 or 27, but the likes of Jamie Ling, the two Murphy brothers, like, these lads are only kids. Like, they're 17, 18 years of age. Like, I mean, barely touching 19. There was a few of them arrived late from under 20 training for Kilkenny to come in to the dinner. They're going to be a force to be reckoned with in intermediate this year, and I mean that because they've got there's no ceiling there. Like, these lads are young lads and they're going to drive on from it. Then the older lads that are there, obviously we had Wally there as well. He looks in really good condition as well at the moment, but he really had a season for Tulliher Ross Birkin. And then the ever present Pat Hartley, he you might have noticed I limped in the door here today. Pat gave our podcast a good kneecap in there. Said he enjoys the podcast. But
That's good.
Yeah, it was. But then he proceeded to absolutely obliterate me in front of 250 or 60 odd people who were just lapping it up as their hero, Pat Hartley, took down the evil Eddie Skelly, first of all, they should let you come as well, because no. I didn't point it out in the night. Like, I put eight Tulliher players on our team of the year. You put none.
That's not right.
That's how it happened in my
eyes. That's not right.
That's how I see it.
And come
then
on.
And then secondly, and then I would have had more Tulliher players on it. And then secondly, the other one I would say is, Pat said I never predicted them to win any game in the whole championship. I think that might be, I have to listen back on it, but I did actually say to you 1 week, I said, I got this wrong. Do you remember that night in the podcast? I said to you, I got this wrong. I said, I'd see Tulliher here. I said, I overlooked
I remember
them.
You being wrong, yeah.
I said I was wrong before the event. I said,
oh, okay,
I overlooked Tulliher foolishly.
I do, in fairness.
But Pat Hartley clearly didn't hear that episode of the podcast either when I pointed it out. But no, all jokes aside, it really was a lovely evening to attend, and I genuinely was really honoured to be asked to do it as well. And it was this podcast is the reason they asked me to do it as well. So, you know, that's really nice that there's a few people in Tuller, Rosbirken, that enjoy the podcast and chatting to the lads there, even some of the boys in the background team and all that. They all said that they find the podcast a bit of crack as well and stuff. And look, that's great. And that's 60% down to you, Robert.
Yeah, I wouldn't put that much of a share on it for sure. Sure, look, we'll move it on, but well done obviously to Tuller and to Thomastown and to O'Loughlin's and every team that claimed silverware this year. Kilkenny are going in search of silverware in the league and the Leinster Championship in the All-Ireland. We'll be chatting about that a little bit later on, but where do you want to kick off the podcast, I suppose, Eddie, this week?
Yeah, look, with no games being on, so there's going to be a bit of diving in and out, I suppose. A few notes that I took down during the week that I kind of said, there's nothing really in it, but Limerick obviously dug up their pitch and redone it. I've said to you about home advantage, no one really cares about it. But they've dug up the pitch, the sports ground, and they're playing all their league games away from home. They're still unbeaten in the league. They'll go unbeaten in the league all year as well, I'm pretty sure, looking at them. But strange timing is that they've just gave up on the whole National League with their home games, like.
Yeah, I mean, the crowds that do, I know we're going to go into attendances as well, but I always find whenever there's, it's just, I first of all, I have to point this out for whatever reason, and there's nothing really about this, or no particular reason, but I absolutely hate the Gaelic grounds. Hate them.
Right, okay.
Do you?
What? I don't hate it now. It's a strange place. I don't think it's devoid of atmosphere. When it's a full house and the whole lot, it's a good spot. My least favourite place, just so you know, is Semple Stadium.
Really?
Yeah, but
just in attendance or watching on TV or
Semple Stadium?
Yeah.
Go down there some night when it's sold out and ring me when you're stuck in traffic for about 3 hours trying to get out of the place.
Parky Cree's worse for that.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. I haven't seen a sold out Parky Cree. No, but it is. Semple Stadium would be the one place I'd hate. And also, I've been unlucky down there as well. I've lost a couple of big games in Semple Stadium over the years. So it's not been a happy hunting ground for me either. Lost an All-Ireland semi-final and lost an All-Ireland quarter-final under with Wexford. So.
Oh, God.
I'd burn it if it was let. I know, but it's a great place, but it's just a horrible place to get out with traffic. The Limerick ground, not sporting grounds, I'd be indifferent to it as well. Pitch they dug up, the Gaelic grounds. It's the pitch they dug up now, that stadium.
The pitch is always nice, in fairness.
Well, this is why it's always nice, because they're doing this remedial work in the off-season. But again, it's down to the National League. They want the pitch to be in pristine condition for the Championships.
Yeah, which obviously goes to show where the league is and their priority, even though they seem to be able to win it at a canter in recent years.
Yeah, now the other thing as well, I know Cork were away this week. They went foreign, the Cork hurlers. They went to Kerry to do a training camp.
I think they got that far.
No, neither did I. I think it was warm weather training camp in Kerry. But Mark Coleman picked up a nasty injury there.
Right.
A jaw injury, and I think he lost a couple of teeth as well and all that. So it sounded like a broken jaw, so. We wish Mark a really speedy recovery. He's a massive, massive loss to Cork if he's not going to be back in time. I see the early prognosis is that they're hoping he might be back for the early rounds of the Championship. So, fingers crossed that is the case. But that would be a massive blow to Cork this early in the year.
What do you make of Mark Coleman as a player? And what I mean by that is, I think everybody listening in that watches hurling or, you know, attends games or whatever will know that he's incredibly talented. But there's always been a thing in Cork, and I lived in Cork for a few years when I was in college, that they can't find his proper position as such. Would you agree?
Yeah, he does seem to be moved about quite a bit, you know, which is very hard on him as well, because it's not allowing him to you know, stamp his authority on it as well. I think he's a class hurler, there's no two ways around it. You know, I don't know, if you ask me what was his best position, I'd be in the half back line with him every day of the week, like. But I don't know, maybe
I agree, left you would back. Yeah, left wing back, I think, or right wing back, I think that's his best position. I think he did centre back for a year or two.
Yeah, he's been moved around. Like, I just wanted to check this out, because I thought he's after scoring 16 points in 23 appearances for Cork, like, for a wing back. Like,
that's unreal.
It is, you know. One All-Star, two Munster titles is all he has to show for it. But that's Cork at the moment. I mean, Patrick Horgan is in a similar vein, but either way, Coleman will be on the Cork team. Do you know what I mean? If he's fully fit and fresh, he's on the Cork team, and he's a massive important player for them. So it just goes to show you as well, that happened in training. Like, these lads, there's no holding back. Like, you know, I would say an intercounty training session at a camp like that is probably the games in are probably played nearly with the same intensity as a county semi-final and Championship Ireland club. Like,
really?
There is, yeah. The hits, like, I've heard players saying that before as well. I remember that famous Kilkenny team that was going for years with Brian Cody, the one that was.
Yeah.
And I remember everyone commenting back. Kilkenny were so strong at the time that the match between the first 15 and the second 15 was harder than the championship matches.
Famously.
But that's what you need.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's different. At a club team, you'll have 15 players. And after that, in general, with club teams, there starts to become a tail. Like, you might only have 13 really good players with a club team. And then you'll hear them saying the term a tail, then it kind of tails off a little bit. But you get some exceptional club teams, they might have 18 to 20 players. But at county level, you have to have two players competing for every position on that field. And if you have that, then you've, and I mean genuinely competing, then you have a real, real team where you can actually look and say, who's the best goalkeeper in the country? Our goalkeeper's the best goalkeeper. Who's the second best? Our subkeeper. You know, this type of way. And you're not going to be able to do that for 30 players, but you'll, I think that Kilkenny team at the time had probably 7 or 8 subs, maybe more, that would have met every other team in the country.
100%.
And I think Limerick are at that stage at the moment. When I seen the Limerick team Dublin. Yeah.
Okay.
I seen that Limerick team against Dublin the other day. There's so many young players and players breaking into it. Like, I mean this in with all the respect in the world to the other teams, but like, if you look at the Limerick panel from last year's All-Ireland final, you'll go down a good bit before you find a player that wouldn't make maybe every other team, with the exception of maybe Kilkenny last year. You know, that type of way. It's that's how dominant they are. But Mark Coleman, any more importantly, I think there needs to be he needs to be there for Cork. Cork need him, and hopefully it'll be a quick turnaround with that injury anyway, whatever way it works out.
Okay. Mark Coleman will be on the Cork panel this year, almost certainly, unless that injury goes on longer than expected. Other players obviously won't. This is a cutting season, I suppose. We're going to see a lot of players drop off inter-county panels, including Kilkenny. I suppose I don't know where to direct this question at, but
I know where you're going.
First of all, before we go in depth in anything like that, it must be a terribly tentative and tough time if you really want to get into an inter-county panel and you know you're in amongst the fringes and you could be kind of either side of being cut or not.
Yeah, I'd imagine for the players, it's such a tough time. It really is. Like, if you take the Kilkenny team, and this is the other side of it too, is you've a management team there. Like, Derek has his backroom team there. You have Peter Barry and Michael Rice, Connor Feeling is in there. Peter Donovan, they're all there together, right? Yeah. So they're going to sit down now. They have to reduce the panel back to, I think it's 35,
something like that. Isn't
so
it? Yeah.
Roughly now, you know, you have your panel of, and then you have to remember on match days you reduce that again to your 26, or isn't it 26 the name on match days? So there's lots of players going to get cut from that panel, and there's players that still have to come back as well. Like, TJ is not back yet now. I know there's not a huge amount of players to come back, but TJ has to come back. So if you look at the, say, the Kilkenny team that played last week or whatever, right?
Awesome,
so
yeah.
I think this was roughly the team that day. But so Darren Brennan in the goal, you know, Darren's going to be there this year anyway. And Owen Murphy was on the bench. So I'd say the goalkeeper's position is sorted.
Yeah.
You have Mikey Butler, Conor Delaney, Tommy Welch was the full back line. I would assume all three of them are there.
Yes. Yeah.
David Blanchfield, Dara Cork and Shane Murphy. On performances, I think all three of them will be there as well.
I would have thought so, yeah.
Peter MacDonald, Mikey Carey. Mikey's going to be there. Peter MacDonald's going to, you know, if the panel's being shredded in the next week, Peter's going to struggle to make the 35, I would suggest. I hope I'm wrong. I'd love him to make it.
I think it's a fair assessment.
Adrian, Keane Kenny, John Donnelly, all three of them are going to be there. Billy Drennan, Liam Blanchfield, Owen Cody. Not 100% that I've seen enough. Like, Billy Drennan is definitely going to be there. Liam Blanchfield is coming back. So, he's probably, like, are they going to keep the three of them, I presume? Well, Owen Cody's definitely getting kept.
I think Owen Cody will be okay.
Liam needs time. Like, he needs.
Well, this is the thing. Like, when do you just cut a player and then that's it? And this was the worry with Kilkenny supporters, I think, not to go back over trodden ground, that, you know, players weren't being given opportunities, and now if you cut them, you're just going to be left with the same panel that hasn't been able to win All Ireland for the bones of a decade, with respect.
It's such a hard one, because, like, if you look, like, Luke Hogan missed out the last day, I think. Luke didn't play the last day, but
against Cork,
at full forward. Stephen Donnelly came out of panel just before the game the last day. Billy Ryan was brought in. I presume Stephen had picked up a knock or something. I'm just looking there, like Pádraic Moylan and Niall Rowe, they've had really good years at their club this year. Have they had enough opportunities with Kilkenny this year?
Do you think the management team are of the opinion that, you know, because they played at the highest level themselves, one game's enough? You don't show us in a game, well, you had your chance, what else are we supposed to do? We can't keep picking every game.
No, it's not like that at all. And I'd say if you spoke to Derek, like, I'll be honest, when I'm looking at teams, I look at training as well, and I look at performances in training. There's lads, like, I'd have a player that's flying in training and it's just not happening from on match days. I might give him 3 or 4 games. Do you know what I mean? If I see something in somebody, I'll try and draw it out of him. Now, at the same time, and I don't, subconsciously I do that too, where I look at a player and I see him in training dragging his herd around behind him and his attitude, he's not really applying himself enough. And then when I put him out on a match day, he'll need to light it up because he's only getting one chance for me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
And but
I'm
there are saying, there are Monday to Friday players and there are Saturday and Sunday players too, aren't there?
There is, but I think at this level, Derek will know what it takes and so will all of them lads in the backroom team. They'll know what it takes sacrifice-wise, course, and the whole lot. So don't think for one second it's just what you do in 30 minutes against Offaly and Nolan Park that's going to get you into the Kilkenny panel. Now granted, if you went in at corner forward and scored 3-4 in the first 15 minutes of the game, there's a fair chance it's going to be hard to drop you.
Yeah.
But did you ever hear, like, when Taggy's talking or Mickey Welch, like fellas that have done it and understand it, they say make it hard for them to drop you. Make it hard for him to drop you. So what they're meaning by that is if I'm starting corner forward, light up the scoreboard.
Yeah.
You know, so the next day when he doesn't start me, the rumblings in the stadium isn't Eddie was lazy in training on Tuesday and Thursday night. They're saying, why isn't Derek Ling starting Eddie? He scored 3-5 the other day. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, 100%.
So has enough Kilkenny players put their hands up to make it really hard for Derek to drop them? I don't think they have. That's just being honest. I don't think they have. So don't get me wrong. I don't know who's going to be in Derek's panel when it's reduced, and it will be reduced as well because the cost of running these panels is absolutely astronomical. It really is. It's astronomical. Like, it's astronomical, and it does get out of hand because you have all the supplements that these lads need to take and all that. That's all subsidised and it's all covered. And you know, when you have 50 lads doing these things, it costs a fortune. So they'll reduce it back. Whoever makes it, you know, you'll be delighted for them and wish them the best. Whoever doesn't make it, you'll have to feel for them as well, but you know, they'll all get second chances and they'll all get another year as well, and you know, the younger lads will. But look, it's not easy, but it's not going to be easy, but I can tell you, as hard as it is on the players, I think it's equally as difficult on the management teams.
Just a final one on this, Eddie. When the Kilkenny panel is cut and we see the full list of names for the season ahead, if there's not at least two or three names where you can go, right, they're either going to be major impact subs or even better again, they're going to come straight into the starting 15 that you can just check off the list, would you be concerned as a Kilkenny supporter?
No, I definitely wouldn't. Genuinely, and I've said this to you from the outset, I think some of the key Kilkenny players are going to have marked improvement in their own performances this year, which is like a new player coming in. How much they'll stand up. Like, I thought Owen Cody last year in the All-Ireland final, we've seen flashes of what Owen Cody's going to be bringing to Kilkenny. This year in the league, we've seen what Owen Cody's going to be bringing. Every time Owen Cody gets the ball, it's old school. Kilkenny, head down, bang, going for a goal. I'll take a point if there's nothing else on, but I'm going for a goal. And I think that's going to be massive for Kilkenny this year. Adrian Mullen playing in the forwards, I think that's going to be massive for Kilkenny. Mikey Carey, if he can nail down that midfield position. So it doesn't have to be all about new personnel. It can be about current personnel in different roles or in different positions. But would I like to see a couple of new players in there? I definitely would. Don't want to name any on the podcast that I'd like to see in there. I definitely won't. I would say from the club championship, and there's a big step up from club hurling to inter-county hurling, but from the club championship, Kevin Blanchfield for me was just absolutely brilliant. Jordan Malloy and Dev Fogarty, the three of them were just absolutely brilliant. You'd love to see, you know, one, two or all three of them getting into the panel, but time will tell. You know, you can't have 10 halfbacks in a panel either, but I'd love to see a few of them getting into it.
Okay, it'll be very, very interesting to see how that goes. Obviously, Eddie, there wasn't hurling this weekend. There was football. Derry were playing against Dublin in a top of the table clash, and you want to espouse the virtues of the great Dublin supporters.
Yeah, I tell you what happened. I was watching the game and I heard him saying it himself, but Marty Morrissey was commenting on about the attendance, you know, from this wonderful travelling Dublin support.
Yeah.
And I kind of thought, you know, wow, you know, he's going on and on. And then there was a guy on Twitter, put up this tweet, and I absolutely broke my arse laughing at it because it's so true. And he said, Marty Morrissey loves going on about the great Dubs travelling support. What's there? Question mark. 3,000 and a push out of 1.5 million? It's the equivalent to 70 Leitrim supporters. And I just thought, nail head bang there now, It was, it's a fair point. There's an awful lot made about the Dublin travelling support and how great they are and they roll into town and they bring all this and the whole lot. But I think there's not enough made about the fact that there's over a million people living in Dublin and they got 3,000 of them to travel to a match the other day. They're not that great.
Yeah, I understand that. The one thing I would say is, like, we're going to get on to maybe the more important topic of attendances at games very shortly, but, like, there's not a lot of people bring colour to games. Like, you can probably, you know, you can count them on your hands in terms of Wexford bring incredible colour and passion to games. Awfully, only when it's going well. They haven't really the last 20 years, let's be honest. And you probably put the Dubs in there then.
Yeah, no.
Now, the difference
on.
Being,
they disappeared
course,
now.
Oh, the Dubs.
No,
they're absolute bandwagoners.
Yeah, so... like,
but to
so,
be fair, when there's a match and the hill is full and it's blue, nah, and I can't...
There's the blue jerseys and the hill and all that.
There's a lot of them that I can't...
Play their home matches.
I can't stand
them. Play their matches in Dublin and Phil Hill 16.
Oh, yeah, but they bring colour, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but sure, everybody brings colour. Can you bring black and amber jerseys and shirt? I don't know. You're worse than Marty Morris, you know, talking...
No, I don't like the Dubs. I'll say that on the podcast. I just don't they're not my cup of tea. I'm a Colchie, they're a townie. You have to acknowledge that. You know, I don't like the way. I honestly, and we've gone over this, and they're going to get absolutely baited for this again. I don't like the way the Wexford supporters go on. I actually think it's a hindrance to the team at times. It's not a help. But in terms of the GAA as a whole, they're better for the way the Wexford supporters are. Compared to other supporters, which are very reserved.
Well, I'm going to tell you something for nothing, and lads will kill you. The match itself is enough to carry a spectacle because the support in the stands doesn't.
I don't know. We'll get on
right,
to that, maybe.
We can do it on another podcast, but tip.
That's my
tip,
point. Tip. It's awful.
It is.
But that's what I mean. They bring no passion,
the match
no
on the pitch. Just... The match on the pitch is the entertainment in the GAA.
Oh, 100%.
That's what the... At the soccer matches, you have to have sing-songs and abuse the opposition and the whole lot because the spectacle on the pitch is actually quite boring. That's the reason the Liverpool fans sing You'll Never Walk Alone and the atmosphere at Anfield is so wonderful, blah, blah.
No, I don't agree with that.
It is because
it's
for long,
sports,
for long
sports.
Periods of them different sports, it's boring. And that's the problem. Whereas in a hurling match, generally, it's not boring. It's just end-to-end. Maybe in some cases, too much end-to-end.
That's cultural. We won't get into that.
I'm just saying that they go to these matches. And I tell you what I find as well is... Like the Dublin team, the lads are on about the Dublin supporters travelling in big numbers. They travel in big numbers because they don't have to play out of home. What, do they play away from Dublin 4 times a year?
Oh, I agree. I don't agree with the fact that they travel in big numbers. That's a load of
baloney.
Bollocks.
Jesus Christ almighty.
But what I'll say is the numbers that do travel bring a bit of life and colour to some of these games.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying.
They're on the beer and they're having a bit of crack.
Ah, yeah. Which is better than, like, let's be honest, Kilkenny and Offaly, like, last weekend, that's dour stuff.
Yeah, but
when you're looking at it on television, or even if you're at the match, you're kind of sitting there going, just not going back to this.
No, it's not that. It's
I'm not just pointing out that game, because we're Kilkenny people, obviously, but I'm just saying, no. There's a lot of games like that across the country.
Like I found, when you'd be travelling to matches, you know, you'd be going to the Westmeath games and stuff, and you'd roll into Port Leash and you'd have a couple of pints before the match and you'd have a bit of banter in the pub and a bit of cracking on, you'd go, and it's great fun. It's the problem with the Dubs is, the Dubs don't have that many away days, so when they have an away day, they all come in big numbers and they have a bit of a session and a bit of fun, but it's relative, and the point that man met on his tweet about Marty Morrissey waxing lyrical about the Dubs, he's right. It's about the equivalent of 70 Leitrim fans who, to their credit, outnumbered Carlow last week down in Dr. Cullen Park 3-1 by all accounts. Now that's remarkable that they travelled. I would say I drove to Sligo a couple of weeks ago. It was about 4 hour spin down the road. Like, that is some spin from Leitrim to Carlow, and then outnumbering Carlow 3-1. I thought it was...
What helped there, I just want to... We won't go into this, but I think the ladies footballers as well were actually on a 12:30, and then they were all able to go over and watch the Carlow game. But the actual supporters from Leitrim was incredible, the numbers that they brought.
It is for a county with such small population and a county that's starved of success as well.
But they seem a bit re-energised, to be fair, which is good for football. But this is hurling, and I suppose the more important thing that we're going to get onto is attendance figures.
Eddie. Don't know if they're up or down on last year, to be honest with you. I haven't checked any stats or anything like that. But I have to say, and we'll get on to maybe whether it adds to the spectacle or doesn't, but they haven't been great. And I think we've touched on this a bit around Walsh Park not being full for league games. And then, like, let's be honest, I think was there, I'm going to say there was less than 4,000 in Nolan Park. Is that
for
right?
The Offaly game, I'd say that. Yeah, it was less than 5. Anyway.
And then there was a bit of a start at the Wexford Park. Wexford Park has been awful this year, which, you know, is renowned for big attendances.
Yeah, I don't know. Has the National League kind of lost its emphasis, unfortunately? I actually think it has. I know that they're in the process of restructuring the leagues and the whole lot at the moment, and maybe it'll improve it. But I actually think the leagues, they're starting to feel like glorified friendlies. Somebody came out a couple of weeks back, I think it might have been Colin O'Rourke, and suggested that the provincial championship should be played first, and then the league, and then the All-Ireland series. And I think the reasoning behind it was that these league games are so, they're such dead rubbers.
But for football, they're big.
Yeah, the football attendances are good for some of the bigger games, say like the likes of your Derry and Dublin and the whole lot. They're not bad at that level. But then further down the tail, you know what I mean? It does drift away. But I think in hurling, unfortunately, I think the National League, I don't think anyone really cares about the National League anymore.
I think there's a few reasons. I think maybe some are controversial, but I think the first one that I'm not sure a lot of people have pointed out, and maybe I'm wrong in saying this, there was a time where if you were a Kilkenny supporter, if you didn't get to a league game, you were never going to get to see Kilkenny playing at home. Now, with the round robin in the provincial championships, you could have 3 home games in Leinster that are far more significance and importance. So you just kind of think, I don't really need to go and watch the league games because I'm going to go to the 3 games that are on this year in the summer when it's good weather and they're huge games in Nolan Park and I can enjoy them instead. And that's the same for every single other county out there. So I don't think that was there in the past. So I think that could be a possibility. Do you?
No, I agree 100% with you. You're dead right. Like, Kilkenny were winning All-Ireland's playing 4 games.
Semi-final.
Yeah. So that was the year. So Kilkenny supporters then had to bank their 4 games and say, right, I'm going to go and do these and whatever. But now, as you say rightly, don't discount the Walsh Cup, but the National League games, they're going to play probably 3 home games in the National League and 2 away or vice versa, right?
Yeah, 2 home, 3 away this year.
And then in the Championship then, they're going to have potentially 2 or 3 home games in the Championship as well. So either way, you're going to have 5 matches in Nolan Park between Championship and League, and that's before you get to an All-Ireland semi-final or an All-Ireland final or an All-Ireland quarter-final. So, like, at home you have 5, away you have 5, that's 10, and then 3 or 4 other matches as well. Now you're up on 14 games.
Yeah.
And what happened in the past was they were saying, oh, there's not enough matches. And now they've too many.
Possibly.
You know, and that's kind of pushing on to that one. The other one as well, and I don't buy into it hugely, the cost of these games.
I buy into that a bit.
No. They're not expensive. Relatively.
Possibly. But what I'm saying is for people, it's not that people are going to the cinema instead of going to the hurling. It's just that people are so tight for money. Certain people are.
They're picking the games that they'll go to.
Some people are, yeah.
Yeah,
but there are people genuinely tight for money that cannot get the games.
I know, definitely. But you should. The season tickets are there as well, and they're not massively. I know they're probably out of reach for some people, and I don't mean to say that. But what I would say to you is, Cheltenham is on next week. And I was reading New York the other day. Under 4s, Cheltenham are Rego now. Yeah. If you're 5 years or under, you're allowed in for free. So if you're a 5-year-old and you want to pick up a couple of your mates at play school, you can go free of charge into Cheltenham. Everybody else has to pay full price tickets. So if you have a 6-year-old child, if I wanted to go to the races next week at Cheltenham with Breed, it's £100 sterling each for our 2 tickets. That's £200. And then for the kids, I have to pay £100 sterling for each of my kids. That means it cost me £500 sterling to go to one day's races at Cheltenham. Like, that to me is absolutely outrageous. It's a disgusting price.
Do you think so? Is Cheltenham not the All-Ireland?
There's 5 days of it. 5 All-Irelands in a row. I'd need to win the lotto to go racing every day. Do you know, you've Tuesday, Wednesday, yeah. Thursday, Friday, sorry, 4 days of the Cheltenham Festival. Yeah. Jesus, God forbid there'll be five. 4 days. They're on about making it a fifth day as well. I don't want to get into the virtues of Cheltenham either now, but I can tell you it's the most expensive week of all time. Should the GAA be doing something else? Like Carlo done this under-16s, all going free into the games, giving out free jerseys at half-time. They're doing everything they can to get people to come to the matches. I think you're probably right. There's too many games.
And here's another point. I think there's two more. People just aren't interested.
In the national leagues?
Just generally, I think.
Yeah, there's lots of other stuff on as well. Like next weekend,
life has changed. Like it has changed so much in the last even 10 years.
Yeah, but do you know what else is after happening as well? And no one ever gets onto it. Every single match, there's some way of streaming it or sitting. COVID made us all the laziest shower.
Oh yeah.
You know, you're sitting at home, you're streaming it. Every game. Nearly every game is a stream now, so you're able to live stream every single game, so you don't have to leave the house, and that's a massive thing.
So we're all armchair supporters, is that what you're saying?
Well, it's not that we're all armchair supporters. Like, I heard Mickey Welch, and he was talking to you the other night, on Friday night, and he said to you, you have to go to these games. He was on about St. Cairns. That's another highlight of the weekend actually as well for Juice the Boys. But he was on about St. Cairns and the team they were about to play, and I think you'd said about the physicality of St. Cairns, how big they were or whatever.
Or Scullery's
actually, yeah. So I wasn't sure which of the teams, but he basically said you have to go to these games to actually see this or to understand it. He doesn't pick it up on telly. And I'll give you an example. The Donegal team that Jim McGuinness won in All-Ireland with, everyone was giving out about that Donegal team, how boring they were to watch and blah, 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 and the whole lot. And I've seen them on telly a couple of times and it was horrible stuff. I went to Croke Park to see them playing in All-Ireland semi-final. And I was sitting on the Hogan stand lower, but I was down around about 45. Yep. And my mouth was at my feet for the whole match with the movement off the ball from the Donegal players. It was the most outrageous thing I ever seen. I can't remember who was with me at the game, but I remember twice or three times turning around saying, these lads must be the fittest team ever to put on
a
jersey.
Like,
but you don't see that on telly. On telly you get to see all these men behind the ball.
But you're interested in that stuff. A lot of people aren't either. You know, like Michael, we all love Michael, but he's an analysis. He's beyond the supporter, if that makes sense. Some supporters just want to watch the hurling, want to be entertained, that's it.
Yeah, no, but what I'm saying is when you're at the game, it's a different thing. The camera follows the ball. So how do I explain it? The decision and the outcome, you don't base a decision on the outcome. So basically, if a fullback catches the ball and drives it the length of the field and the full forward catches it and scores a goal, that doesn't necessarily mean the fullback did the right thing. It just means that the right outcome happened from what the fullback done. But there could have been a free corner forward on the other side of the field and the fullback didn't lift his head up and he just got lucky. So you won't get lucky all the time. When you're at a match, you'll see that. And sometimes we're at matches and we're looking at the movement of some players and the ball's just not going to them. And then, you know, when the ball does go to them, it's the wrong ball going in. You don't see that on telly. You get to see that when you're at the matches. So I think that's important to go for that. And that's something else that I actually seen this week was being discussed too. So the National League, fair enough, you're right. It can be a little bit boring. I don't think the interest is there. I think people are saving their time for the championships. But was one of the things that was commented on the other day, and it was the analysis of games and the over analysis of games. And
they were saying, like TV.
Everybody. Television, radio, the whole lot. They said too much. People actually couldn't give a shite. Like, I seen a fella talking about it the other day and I thought it was so funny. He was on about the shot rate, did a 72% rate or 72% conversion rate. And the other lad said, what does that mean? Like, and he said, I don't have a clue. But he said, it's on the stat sheet that I got given after the game. And he rubbished it as well.
But I disagree with you. I think people love analysis when it's entertaining. I think analysis has been so watered down to the point of it being like a lecture in college or something like that.
Yeah, but see, what's after happening is they're overanalyzing it. So
that's what
like
I mean.
72% of this and that. Do you know what they're doing? They're copying Sky Sports figures at halftime. Have you ever heard Roy Keane in an analysis at halftime in a match saying, you know, Manchester United have had 52% of the possession. Balls. He's turned around saying, look, we own the ball.
But that's entertaining.
100%.
And people watch it.
But it's to try and get that happy medium. Our National League games are the equivalent of the FA Cup. The FA Cup's lost its glory too. No one gives a shit about the FA Cup till the final.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, no, I think it's interesting. I think on hurling, definitely, it's lost a lot of its allure. I think football, particularly at the lower divisions, it is very, very important, I think.
Yeah.
So I think there's still a bit, there's something there still. I don't think it's completely lost it, but it might be heading in that direction. I think that's maybe fair. It'll be interesting to see how the league pans out from here.
Right, before we go on looking at next week's games, because I'm not going to drag the arse out of the podcast to make something happen when it doesn't. We had a conversation over the last couple of weeks
about the promotion of
hurling. And I was home the other night and I kind of had an epiphany sitting on the couch.
Here we go.
And I said to myself, who in the name of God would kick anything they are to start telling everybody about the promotion of hurling when they have absolutely no interest? And they will not tell me. Oh, lads will tell me about your club as a bit of a football club and Mullinavada are a bit of a football club. As a county, Kilkenny are incapable of putting a team out in the National League in football.
Yeah.
They're incapable of entering a football championship.
Yeah.
They're incapable of having a club team playing at a senior championship at club level. And they'll pontificate to people about how to promote hurling. Now, I actually think about this probably more than I should, because I shouldn't really care. But the truth of the matter is, hurling has always been pigeonholed to about 10 or 11 counties. And I'm saying that at a push now.
That's a big push.
But what I'm doing is I'm allowing Antrim and Carlow and Dublin in at the tail end of that. Okay?
Yeah, no, that's fair.
So that's why it's allowed to 10 or 11 clubs. Gaelic football, on the flip side of it there, probably has 20 counties. Now, I'm not saying competing to go and win All-Irelands, but I'm saying that genuinely play football. Big leagues and the whole lot. I'm telling you, Louth is three.
Probably more, no?
Definitely more. I'm saying 20 at least.
Okay.
They've three. But what I started looking at them was, I said, right, who's the top football team in the country right now? And then, so I said I'd do the top six football teams in the country, and none of them would be in the top six hurling teams in the country. That was my opinion.
Okay.
So I said, in no particular order, Dublin. Yeah?
Yeah, that is order.
Kerry.
Yeah.
Derry.
Yeah.
Tyrone.
Yeah.
Galway, Mayo, Donegal and Monaghan. That's the top eight teams, in my opinion, in football in the country at the moment. Galway are the only one in the top eight competing in Ireland. Dublin, Kerry, Derry, Tyrone, Galway, Mayo, Donegal, Monaghan.
Fair.
And in hurling, Kilkenny, Limerick, Clare, Galway, Waterford, Cork, Tip, Wexford, Dublin. And I said Dublin, that's at ninth, so we'll go to the top eight. That's Kilkenny, Limerick, Clare, Galway, Waterford, Cork, Tip, Wexford. Galway are the only team in the top eight in hurling competing in football. Make an argument for me.
To be pedantic about it, you could argue that Dublin did finish third last year and defeated Wexford in the Leinster Championship, so they should be it.
But this is this year.
Yeah, this year it'd be very hard to know where. I think it'd be hard. I'd have them tied it, so you could put two teams in, but the point is still valid. It's not.
Dublin aren't in the top eight hurling teams in the country this year. Like, this is right now. Wexford will absolutely pummel Dublin in the Championship.
I would think the Wexford will beat them, but you can only go off what's happened in the past until future 100%. Arises.
But the point that I'm saying to you, Robbie, is all of these hurling clubs and counties on the other side, on the left-hand side of that chart, are trying to promote the game of hurling in these other counties, right? But yet, they're not promoting the game of football in their own counties.
Yeah, no, I agree with the last point. They're definitely not promoting football in their counties. I don't know if they're promoting hurling in other counties either. They're just going on about why it's not being promoted.
Yeah, but this is it. But like, back to this is why I'm saying I'm overthinking this. The formation of your Christy Rings and your Joe Max and these competitions, I actually think that they had a negative effect on hurling.
Do you?
And I'll tell you why. I think the Joe McDonagh should be played as a separate competition. I think every team in Leinster that wants to participate in the Leinster Hurling Championship should be playing in the Leinster Hurling Championship. Why would you close the door on counties that want to play in the Championship? Why would you close the door and force them to play in something else? Your Tailteann Cup. Westmeath won that a couple of years ago. Westmeath are probably the second or third best team in Leinster. And they were forced to play in the Tailteann Cup because some... Like, you see Westmeath in the league this year under Desi. They're absolutely running away with the league. Themselves and Down will play it out. And when Leinster comes around, like, the simple fact of the matter is, who thought it was acceptable to put Westmeath into the Tailteann Cup? Like, it's not right. It'd be like putting Wexford into the McDonagh. It's not right. Wexford almost got relegated to playing the John Mack last year. Like, Wexford were within a puck of a ball of being gone. Like, this is hurling. And these people have the audacity to turn around then and say they want to promote it in other counties. Promote it in the fucking counties ye have. Do not close the door on teams. So why can't every team that wants to play in Leinster play in Leinster? And then...
But I suppose... Yeah, I suppose...
Well, what was the harm? What was the harm?
But the argument was that it wasn't doing anything anyway when they were in Leinster. I remember awfully back at 10 years ago... We're just getting hammered. Like, let's be honest. And you know, they were one of the so-called better of the week.
But they were put down into the Christy Ring. They went down that far.
Yeah, but that was because that was a
there was a meritocracy about that, though. You know, they did not do enough to be out of that competition.
Hold on. But this is what I'm saying to you. That, to me, I think that Galway getting thrown into the Leinster Championship because there was no Connacht Championship. Maybe the Connacht should have turned around and tried to create something in Connacht.
Do you think Galway should be in the Leinster Championship?
No, they should be in the Connacht Championship. They're in Connacht. There should be work done to make the Connacht Championship competitive. Antrim,
I don't know, Eddie. Antrim were in Ulster. Galway weren't in the Leinster Championship.
If Kerry win the Joe Mack.
Shocking.
Yeah, if Kerry win the Joe Mack.
That's wrong. Yeah,
they're in the Leinster Championship.
That's wrong.
What's that telling you?
No, that's absolutely rubbish.
Munster is such a great championship.
No, that's rubbish.
Yeah, but see, you can't pick and choose the bits.
No, and I agree with that.
The point
that I would say is, certain things where they have to try and improve it.
That's fine. Letting Galway play in the championship, I'll accept that. Fair enough. Let them play in Leinster. That's great. But why do they have to play in Leinster? Why didn't they play in Munster? If Munster championship is so brilliant, why didn't they let Galway go down and play down there? Now,
well, Leinster was so weak for a long time, Eddie.
The Dublin senior football team are after winning the Leinster senior football title for
last. It's a nonsense competition.
It is, but I don't see anybody getting fired into it from Connacht or anything else to make it more competitive.
They should do something to change it. I'm not talking about bringing teams in or out. I don't think there's a need for that. But that worked for two reasons. Galway didn't have competitive games until an All-Ireland quarter final, which isn't ideal.
Yeah.
And then Leinster was becoming a one-team show, let's be honest with you, because when all this was going on, Dublin were still not at a level where they could compete.
Why then didn't the Leinster GAA turn around and say, look, we need to then start putting all our resources into bringing on your Dublins and bringing on your Westmeads and bringing on your Offaly's and Leashes and the whole lot, instead of throwing in the towel and saying, right, we'll bring Galway in and we'll bring Antrim in, trying to make it a bit more competitive for all them teams, and the rest of them we won't worry about them, we'll bury our head in the sand. Because I can tell you, in football,
but you can do both though.
You can
bring Galway in, improve the Leinster Championship and improve the other counties. The problem is they haven't improved the other counties
because they haven't tried to. And then the other thing,
yeah,
you
no,
have
I'd
to
agree
remember
with
is
that.
I heard Mickey saying about the Westmead people that there were some really good Westmead people on that and all that. But at the end of the day, Westmead is a football county. And all the resources and all the strength and effort goes into the football. Like, Westmead are still training in Dublin.
Yeah.
One night
showing,
a week.
Yeah.
Like, that's the way it is. Is
that right, that resources, manpower, everything, or the majority of resources is funneled into one sport or the other?
You cannot look me in the eye living in Kilkenny and ask me that question when I'm in Westmead.
I don't think it's right in Kilkenny.
Yeah, but you're not going to be able to change it. In Westmead, in fairness, Westmead put way more into football or into hurling than Kilkenny do into football.
Oh no, 100%. But what I'm saying is, like, you know, I've heard that argument, and you know, other people have said a bit more knowledge than me that you're never going to be able to change it. But I don't know what sort of, you know, what does that attitude do for anybody?
It doesn't do anything.
I half agree with it, that, you know, but then I'm also like, if you're never going to change anything, you have that sort of line of thinking,
yeah,
you're
Robbie,
definitely never going to change anything.
Let teams, Westmead this year in the National League they had a bad day at the office against Galway. They ran Tip tight enough and they ran Limerick tight enough.
Yeah, they've done
games
well. They've
like
done really
that
well.
Are going to bring Westmead on a ton.
100%.
Westmead are getting relegated out of the league this year, so they're going to be back down next year playing in Division 2 in the league. That's what's going to be happening, because they're going to have lost their games, right? So next year then they're going to be playing against Leash, Carlo, I don't know who else will come up there and who else will come down, but it'll be Leash, Carlo and the whole lot. And they'll all be at a level and they'll be very competitive games. But Carlo, and I've said this to you, Carlo need to be playing at the highest level possible in the league in order to be able to compete in the championship. Right now,
100%.
Carlo, I'd love to swap Westmead and Carlo right now. I'd love for Carlo to be playing in the league where Westmead are, and for Westmead to be playing in the league where Carlo are, because Carlo need that going into the Leinster Championship. Plus, you go up as a team after winning the Joe Mack, there should be a stay. Like, if they're not going to open up the doors of the Championship, the Joe Mack team should be, I don't think a Joe Mack team should be relegated in the first season back up. They have to be given a chance.
No, I agree. I think, I understand the reason for the Joe McDonagh Cup, and I actually think it has done a lot for
but
her.
But I'm not saying scrap it, Robbie. I'm saying do both.
Yeah, I agree with that, yeah.
Do you get me?
No, I agree with you.
Carlo and Westmead and Leash all play in the Leinster Championship. And when they're gone out of the Leinster Championship, so if you're knocked out in round one of the Leinster Championship, and maybe make your round robins after round one, I don't know how to do it, but I just think for me, it's a moot argument when somebody is saying that we're trying to promote the game of hurling, and how we're going to do that is we're going to stop half the counties that want to play in Leinster playing it.
That probably brings us on to, I'd love to have that conversation around what to do with the Joe McDonagh Cup teams, maybe for a different day, Eddie, you know, go more in depth on it. But that brings us on, your last point there brings us on to my next question. Can you be successful in two codes?
now?
Yeah.
Not a chance. Like, Dublin could, because there's so many people living in Dublin.
Yeah, as a consequence of their population, yeah.
Galway are remarkable, but in Galway, you have to see the divide. Like, there's a whole, there's a line down through the middle of Galway, and on that side of the line, it's all hurling, and on this side of the line, it's all football. Mm. And that's a fact. Like, it's it's an even split. And Galway is massive. It's a massive county. No, not a massive population, but it's a massive county. Can you... I don't even think you can compete at Boe Codes in club. Like, I think it's... what teams that are doing that...
Sambo McNaughton said that to me there last weekend.
That he felt the club teams couldn't even...
He said, like, county... You forget about the inter-county game in terms of being a dual player or even competing at dual level. But he said it's going that way in the club. No doubt about it.
But if you take... Carlo, where I am at the moment, Mount Leinster Rangers and Bangstown Gaels are both playing, and Fenna are both playing senior footballing, or three of them are playing senior football. Fenna were relegated this year, but you've three clubs that are playing senior football, right?
Yeah.
And they're all playing senior hurling as well. Fenna, Ballinkillen, I'm kind of pigeonholing them as one club. They're not one club, okay, in fairness, but Ballinkillen hurlers would all play football with Fenna, right? But you take Tinryland or Aero Oak that are just football only. When you play a whole hurling championship first, we all go out and hurl the living stones over each other for 7 weeks, breaking hurls on each other, killing each other to try and get to a county final. And then you get to the county final and somebody wins and somebody loses. And then 2 weeks later, you go out and you play in the first round of the football championship. You know, some lads will say, oh, isn't it great for your fitness level? You'd be so much fitter than them. But the way I look at it is you're after playing 6 or 7 rounds of hurling championship. And then you get a week off and you start straight into the football and you're competing against teams that have played no matches and they've had the whole summer to rest and practice. That's where, can you do dual? You can. Can you compete at the very top table? It's really difficult, and it's the dual players that, like, the dual players in my club have to train 4 nights a week, whereas the hurlers or the footballers only have to train 3 nights. And that's just a small club with that. Do you get me? That they're doing 4 nights when the dual players do. So I think Sambo's on the ball there. I think it's getting increasingly difficult, if not near impossible. But in inter-county, that ship has sailed.
Yeah, I think so. Another thing that you pointed out, actually, I think we discussed on last week's podcast, was the fact that it's okay for the inter-county players to commit so much time and effort in the bigger counties because they do have that tangible thing to look forward to at the end of the season if they win a piece of silverware. But for the likes of his own county, he said in Antrim, very, very difficult to keep lads committed. We've seen it in Kerry. There's been a mass exodus with the hurlers. We've seen it now in Antrim. He's been telling me that they've just lost a lot of their better players. Would you kind of agree with that line of thinking?
Yeah, nah, look, it is. It's just... it is so hard. And like, as you rightly say as well, Robbie, there's an awful lot to be said for the effort that you put in at this time of the year for the potential to play in front of 85,000 people in the middle or end of July. But that's only 3 or 4 teams realistically.
Do you think maybe that's why, and look, I'm not going to go back over, but do you think that's why the Joe Mack and the Tailteann Cup is there? That at least they were trying to give their day in the sun, even if they went the wrong way about it?
Yeah. Look, the reason they were put into place was that they could continue to... I actually think in some cases that they've actually just kind of ticked the box and they said, look, we done that and we let them at it. I'd be surprised if the GAA weren't annoyed to be letting them some of these games go on. Like the GAA put these in place to make it look like, look at us, we're great. Okay. The Joe Mack is a great competition. But as I said to you already, the teams in the Joe Mack should be playing in their own provincial championships and the Joe Mack should be a separate competition afterwards. And if they did care as much as they make out to be, the Joe Mack semi-final will be played on Leinster Final Day in Croke Park when there's 30 or 40,000. Like you have to remember, Robbie, there used to be 80,000 people at a Leinster Hurling Final. There's not 30,000 people at now.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
That goes back to our other stuff.
Yeah, but why not have the Joe Mack... If they're gone out of it, have a round of the Joe Mack as a curtain raiser for a Leinster final or an All-Ireland semi-final. And, you know, then you're giving them
They'll say that it's supposed to be just be their day and that's it and nobody else's day.
But sure, half the stadium's empty.
Well, more than half.
I don't know. I think, the other one as well, and you laugh at this, we go and predict the results for the weekend, but if Kilkenny gets an All-Ireland final, you want to get the best tickets in the house. The best place to buy them tickets is in... if you can get them off the county boards at Tyrone, Fermanagh, Antrim, any of them places, you'll get the best tickets in Croke Park. Did you know that? It's an old trick I learnt.
Okay.
They give the football counties that don't play hurling really nice seats for the All-Ireland Hurling Final. Every county board gets tickets, like.
Oh, yeah.
But there's no point in giving, like, shit tickets to the lads in Donegal. They're not driving down to an All-Ireland Hurling Final to sit on row ZZ of the upper davin, do you know that type of way?
Yeah.
So they give them really good seats. So if you swap tickets with the lads in Tyrone, if you give them your football tickets, they'll give you a proper good ones for the hurling. But I digress. I still think the Joe Mack is a great competition and it has a place. However, I think Carlo won the Joe Mack last year and they were fantastic. Offaly got beaten in the final and they were excellent as well. They served up an absolute mouthwatering, brilliant game. Would both of them have competed last year in the Leinster Championship? I think they would have, and I think they should have been let.
Okay, very interesting. We'll finish that conversation there. Before I let you go, Eddie, we just may as well look ahead to the weekend. Kilkenny, you're taking on Clare this Sunday in Cusick Park down in Ennis. It's a half one throw and it's live on KCLR. Our build up will begin straight after the news at 1 o'clock. Big game for Kilkenny. If they win, they're probably guaranteed a place in the top tier in 2025, which is very important, and also looking towards trying to win this year's league. So huge game in store.
Yeah, I think if they win, they are guaranteed it. It's not probably. I think that's done, isn't it?
Yeah, it says so. Yeah.
I think mathematically it's done. So it's but Clare are in the exact same pot. They're on the same amount of points as well as Kilkenny. So both of them are on the same amount of scores. I'm not sure in the football it comes down to head-to-heads. I presume the hurling is going to do a head-to-head before score difference as well.
Yeah, I think so.
But no, that's going to be a really tough game. It'll be interesting to see what side is put on the field by Kilkenny, because you have to remember now, you can't assume anything. So the likelihood is you've only got two league games left. We're nearly at the end of the experimenting phases. It's time to start putting your teams out on the pitch. Ennis, that's going to be like a championship match down there. They're not going to want a proud history down there. They're not going to roll over for Kilkenny. Bit of a bite between these two teams. For Clare, lost two All-Ireland semi-finals back-to-back to Kilkenny. They'll want to put that to bed. When was the last time Clare beat Kilkenny, do you think?
Oh.
Come back 3 or 4 years anyway, I'd say.
Longer than that. So, I don't remember Clare beating them at all.
I'm just wondering, is there a league game that we were beating in? I'm not sure.
Oh, a league, possibly a league.
So that's what I mean. For Clare, I said this to you about Waterford a couple of weeks ago as well, that they'll be looking at the Kilkenny game as their last match, and that'll be some lift to Waterford to go and win that game too. So I think Clare will really come out of the blocks on this one. Be interesting to see what team Derek puts out on the pitch, but I think the experimenting phases is just coming to its conclusion now, so you'll start seeing, I would say, a bit more structure to that Kilkenny team, and it'll be looking a bit stronger as well. So interesting game, be a tight match. I think Kilkenny will win. I think the room for improvement in Kilkenny is huge, and they're unbeaten, so for that I think that'll naturally happen as well. Plus I would imagine that they're starting to come into phase two of the preparations for this year's championship, so now this is me just purely guessing here, I would imagine the training sessions are going to start tapering back towards a little bit more hurling and a little less physical. So I thought they looked shattered the last two games I watched them. I thought they looked really tired. I'm hoping that it's going to be a fresher looking Kilkenny team. It's around this time of the year that you start letting them off anyway, so March would be now, with the new structures, I'd imagine March is a time that you'd be targeting to start hurling a bit more. So might be a fresher Kilkenny team coming in there, so I'm going to go for Kilkenny to win by 2 or 3 points in what will be a great game.
Okay, just to let people know the table, Kilkenny are on top on 5, Clare then coming second on 5, but there's a score difference, so that's why Kilkenny are top. Wexford are in third on 3 points, then Cork with 2, Waterford with 2, Offaly with 1. This weekend's fixtures are Offaly versus Cork on Sunday, 1:15, half past 1 as we were saying, Kilkenny versus Clare, and then Waterford take on Wexford at 3:30. The other group sees Galway go up against Dublin at 1:30. Then the other two games, I think, are on Saturday. Yes, Limerick versus Tipperary, 8:25 on Saturday night. That game's in Parky Cree, by the way. Just to let people know, because I know you were saying they don't have home games, Eddie. And then Westmeath against Antrim at 3:30. That's also on Saturday.
Limerick are playing Tip in Parky Cree.
Super value Parky Cree. Yeah. That's what's down for anyway.
No, it is. It is Super Value Parky Cueve. It is. Yeah. The match is there. But, like, logistically, is that the nearest pitch? Like, would it not have made more sense for Limerick to say, I'm giving up home advantage and play the game in Tip? For the supporters, like.
Mightn't be allowed.
Why mightn't they be allowed?
Because Tip mightn't be allowed to have, if Tip have 3 home games, they mightn't be allowed to have a 4th.
Surely that comes down to the teams themselves to decide that.
I doubt it.
What?
Well, I'd say that's central.
I'd say you're wrong.
I'd say there's rules.
But there's rules,
100%.
Hold on a second.
100% Limerick would have went to Turles, I would have thought.
Clearly not. I guarantee you that the GAA went to Limerick and said, you're not able to play the game in Tipperary in Limerick because your pitch isn't ready. Where do you want to play? And they said, we'll play in Páirc Uí Chaoimh because they didn't want to give up home advantage.
Possibly. Also, Páirc Uí Chaoimh might suit them a lot better. It's a very, very open pitch. I know Turles can be.
It might suit them a lot better. But I'm on about the little small people like you and me. Well, I'm not a little small person. I'm 6 foot three or four, I think. But,
wow.
No, but what I'm saying is, like, do you know what I mean? This is back to attendances. This match is a 7:30 on Saturday night.
25 to 8.
25 to 8 Saturday night. That gives you the extra 5 minutes. See, that's for all the people at the races in Oran Park on Saturday heading there for the match.
What a cheap plug.
Plug. No, but again, the supporters are nailed. Actually, just on that Oran Park race meeting there on Saturday, I'm actually bringing the Tuller, Ross Burke, and the O'Loughlin Gales and the Thomastown
Chiefs. Jesus, aren't you great?
Yeah, no, they're all coming out.
Oh,
no,
you're great. Mark, with a capital
A. Thanks a million for that. But no, what I would say is it's not really fair on the supporters.
No, of course not. No.
To do that, and I think it would have been better if they'd played that game in Semple Stadium, or even, I know they wouldn't play it in Ennis because I don't think there's floodlights in Ennis, is there?
No. There's not even a seated stand, is there? No, I'm not trying to be disparaging in any way, but isn't it all terraced? I don't know. I've never actually been there, but the side where the television camera is anyway, all the two terraces are behind the goal and then there's a terrace on the far side. I just don't know about that stand where the television cameras are. I think it's all stand there.
Yeah, I just think it's not ideal. And then the other thing as well, I will say, is when you're thinking about these games, is when you're on about trying to promote the sport and all that, why wouldn't they play these games in some of the, say, weaker county venues? Imagine if that game was on in Portlaoise. Like, it's the National League here now. This isn't the Munster Championship. So how nice would that have been on a Saturday night in Portlaoise? Probably the same distance from them places as Cork. Maybe it's not, I don't know, I'm not really good with my geography. I bet you it is. I bet you Portlaoise isn't that far away. And that would have been a sellout stadium in Portlaoise. The novelty for all the people in Laois to go and see these two teams hurling against each other. Do you remember the time Dublin played in Nolan Park?
Yeah.
Massive crowd.
Don't know how many of them were Kilkenny though.
No, but what I'm saying is, that was a championship match now.
Yeah.
But the opportunity was there and it was a novelty thing. The Dubs came down en masse to get the weekend in Kilkenny. I think it was a June bank holiday weekend.
Yeah, a few times, haven't they? They like Kildare there recently.
Yeah. That's the game
Leash,
I'm thinking of.
I think, or something like that.
Can't remember, but it's a novelty thing. And I think when these teams are being played away, they should have been playing them in neutral venues. But if they're going to play them in neutral venues, either A, suit the supporters, or B, promote the sport. Play them somewhere like Portlaoise, where there's floodlights. That would have been a cracking game. It would have been a sellout in O'More Park. Netwatch Cullen Park would have been sold out for this game. Genuinely,
I've heard the only counter argument to that, and I want to wrap this up, is that it's embarrassing. That I've heard it be said that neighbouring counties, like Kilkenny for example, won't support their own hurling team and they'll support Kilkenny because they know Kilkenny are going to be in All-Ireland finals and it's great to support them and forget about their own little team. And that it would actually be somewhat embarrassing to have Netwatch Cullen Park, or I'm not saying Carlo, but Laois Hiram Moore Park, wherever it is in Portlaoise, completely packed to the rafters for two good teams when they can't even get the place 20% full for their own inter-county team.
Okay, I'll take that point, but what I will say to you is they'll fill them with Limerick and Tip supporters first.
Yeah.
And then a sprinkling of their own hurling people that would normally go to see Laois playing anyway.
Yeah.
Get to see a game like that. And the second point I will say to you, Robert, and this is gonna be tough for you now.
Okay.
Kilkenny, all your neighbouring counties hate you. All your neighbouring counties. There is no scenario where anybody in Carlow is shouting for Kilkenny. There is no scenario. I would say if Kilkenny played England, the Carlow people would shout for England.
A lot of people don't like Kilkenny, I understand that. And I think the vast majority in neighbouring counties do not like Kilkenny. But there are a cohort, a very small cohort, that...
Where somewhere like Freshford or Erlingford or...
That's in Kilkenny.
No, just on the borders. Oh, yeah.
They'll bang on the Kilkenny jersey if they have to.
The people in Erlingford. There's people in Callan wearing Tipperary jerseys, Rob. That's a fact now.
Well, that's...
Big shout out there to the lad. He'll know who
he knows who he is.
No, he knows who he is. But no, genuine. And I tell you, if you ever go for a walk down around the Mulligan, down St. Mullins, because I'm walking down along there, and you'll see Wexford jerseys and Carlow jerseys in harmony together. That might all come to a roaring end this year in Netwatch Cullen Park, and what will be.
Sure, it will.
I think it will, but it doesn't happen too often. But what they were always unified in was their hatred of Kilkenny. But now, because they're going to be big rivals against each other, it might be different.
There's a lot of bandwagoners out there.
Come here. You are talking to Chief Bandwagoner here. Like, I tipped, as was pointed out to me, Tuller and Ross Burkett to lose every single round of the league championship this year and championship, and then went down to their homecoming dinner dance to celebrate winning the All-Ireland. No, but no, I think you have the Kilkenny goggles widely on you there. I can assure you.
No, I'm not saying as a gloat, I'm saying as half embarrassed, to be honest with you, that there are people out there that will never be seen at their own inter-county games, and not just Kilkenny, I'm talking about other counties too, but particularly Kilkenny given their success. They'll jump on that bandwagon when needs be.
Yeah, you'd see that up home in Athlone, there'll be a few lads shouting for Roscommon or Galway.
Trying to cringe at that.
See, Athlone is like touching three or four counties, so you can get away with it a little bit. Yeah. You won't see me shouting for Roscommon.
You're right, too.
No, I'd shout for Galway though. My wife's from Galway, and I sure live very close to Galway.
I wouldn't mind shouting for another county when they're not competing with Kilkenny, saying in the football side of things, for example.
They say a club, county, province, but I don't think that's how it works.
No. There anybody in Leinster that wants to see the Dublin football team win, like
Dublin.
Bar Dublin, which is of course the greatest.
But that's the question I'd ask you. Outside of Kilkenny, who shouts for Kilkenny in Leinster?
There are. I'm not saying the vast majority don't. I agree with you, but there are just these little pockets of people.
If Wexford played Kilkenny in Leinster final, 31 counties would be shouting for Wexford.
Oh yeah. Mm. But then there's just the small little people that are just on the outskirts there, and there's
name them.
It's a shame you know. No, I'm joking. So listen, yeah, ended there on the Tuller Ross Burkin thing. I think that's a nice way to end it. Eddie, thanks for joining me as always. You'll be back next week for another edition of the Kilkenny Hurling Podcast, where we will be reviewing the weekend's league action, including Kilkenny versus Clare. You can listen to us anywhere you do your podcast listening, as you know, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or anywhere at all, scoreline.ie as well. And we will be back next week. Until then, have a good week.
The Kilkenny Hurling Podcast with Eddie Scally and Robbie Dowling. Brought to you by KCLR and scoreline.ie.